Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on River Talk, 1290 AM, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, and 1430 AM. Talking to the Ohio Valley with a local voice.
Don't forget, download the River Network app and then click River Talk. Dimitri, live and dangerously local. I want to thank Dr. Angela Georges, a terrific, terrific guy. Have another terrific guy here in studio, Butch Maxwell. I've known Butch for many, many years when I first moved to the Valley. You did a very nice piece on me for the graffiti newspaper in West Virginia.
Right.
And always a good guy. Always a good guy. By the way, we're doing a Facebook live stream of the show, which we do every day. If you'd like to see the interview, the camera is on Butch Maxwell, certainly not on me, and with good reason. So you can actually watch this interview if you like. It's Dimitri with three I's, D-I-M-I-T-R-I. You can also hear me on these great radio stations, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, the Mighty 1290, the Sturdy 1430, the Audio Path of Totality. So first, Butch, tell me a little bit about you and tell the listeners a little bit about you. I've seen you all over Facebook, you know, you're an actor and you're a singer and you're this. I didn't know you were a college professor. I did not know this.
Yeah, that's what I do right now. When I first met you, Dimitri, it was under interesting circumstances.
Yeah.
I was, at that time, the director of public relations at West Liberty.
Oh.
It was then West Liberty State College.
Yes.
This would have been in the 90s. So
late
we were 90, going way back.
97, 98.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And you were talking about an incident that had happened overnight as you did in those days, and I suppose you still do. There was an incident on campus, or actually off campus, involving one of our students. She was apparently a victim of domestic abuse. The police were called in, and of course this is in rural Ohio County, and so the first officer to respond was a West Liberty campus officer, and they were actually police officers. He left campus, called for backup on campus, so he got somebody come in, and he went down to make the arrest. And at that time, he called for assistance from the county, and so the county guy came in, and
the sheriff,
okay. Our deputy, and they took the guy who was accused of domestic violence to campus. It was to the county lockup. So that was our officer. So he put him in the county lockup. Now the reason why all of this came to your attention was because
there's no material here. other than I'm opposed to domestic violence.
Right.
I want
to
go on record as saying I'm absolutely opposed to it.
Right. Yeah. But what happened was this guy apparently committed suicide while in lockup.
Oh my.
It was a big deal.
It was a big deal,
and it just happened overnight. And you, being Dimitri with three eyes, by the way, he actually has three eyes. You can't see him on camera here.
One Cyclops, a second Cyclops, a third Cyclops. Cyclops says, or Cyclops.
Yes. So anyway, you were talking about this on the air. I don't know who brought it to your attention, but me being a radio kind of a guy, I was listening on my way to campus that morning, and you were saying, where is West Liberty? Why aren't they talking about this? Why are, because you're doing your kind of huckster thing. Yeah. And
I wouldn't exactly phrase
I know. Okay. Right. Okay. You're being a little,
I'm just being Dimitri.
Yeah. You're being Dimitri with three eyes. So I had, at that time, I was an early adopter to cell phones, and I had a cell phone in my car. And so the first thing I did was call the college president and said, hey, we got to talk, we're being kind of slammed by this guy on this radio station.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't not get through to my boss, the president, or even his assistant. So I just decided, I'm a PR guy. This was my job, is in public relations. So I turned my car around, drove straight downtown to where that station was located, and knocked on the window and said, and you were saying, actually starting to say my name, because the news director knew me. I was public relations
David,
guy.
Was it David at the
it was,
time?
No, it was Tammy.
Tammy. Okay. Tammy Beagle's great.
Tammy Beagle. I love her.
She's great.
And Tammy said, well, that's Butch Maxwell. And so, you say, where's Butch Maxwell? well. I'm outside knocking on the door. And I come in, and
I can't wait to hear the end of the story because I don't remember it.
You greeted me very kindly, and I knew it was going to be a confrontation. And I said, "Listen, here are the facts," because I also called the police, our campus police. Here are the facts. You know, we have a campus. Everybody from West Liberty acted properly. Once the guy was in the county lockup, we had no control or anything. So, you know, if the insinuation. And you never said it outright. You just said, "What's going on here?"
But I do ask questions.
Right.
But so did it end okay? Did I treat you okay?
It actually was very good because what started out as a confrontation, Dimitri, ended up being a case of mutual respect.
Oh, yeah. I've always liked you. I don't know why.
I know. I don't either. But here's what happened. Then after that, you invited me to be your minister of culture. So I would come in and talk. And so we did this for, I don't know, a number of weeks. It wasn't very long because I was otherwise employed and I couldn't really
take
the
time. Paid.
Right. Yeah.
That's so, always the big bugaboo with my show. Oh, you want paid? Well, it's been nice knowing you.
But I now as a professor of communications and among the things that I teach is public relations. I use that as a case study. I tell them, you know, here's one instance in which I think I acted dynamically and improperly. You know,
oh, you did great. And, absolutely.
Know, and then the president later
absolutely,
got
yeah.
back with me and said, "Hey, you know, you did the right thing."
Oh,
so you
absolutely.
Know, I knew I did. So anyway, that was how we started our relationship.
Okay. Now, a little background on you, and then I want to have you talk mm-hmm. about Ken. You're in a band also?
Yeah.
What band is this?
It was called the M80s. The M80s, like the firecracker.
Yeah.
And it was a band that specializes in music of the 1980s, particularly new wave music.
So, yeah, I love
so
new
we're,
wave.
Yeah, so
the
we're
police?
Talking the Police, the Cars,
yes.
Talking Heads, Blondie, the Pretenders, Elvis Costello, you know, all of that.
Back when MTV was good.
Yes, right. Yeah, exactly. And so that's what we did. And my role in the band was doing a lot of the weird stuff. So I did Devo. I did Whip It, and I came out with a plastic helmet. I dressed. I went full nerd. I had a you know like
B-52s, a Schneider. Did you do
yeah,
with
yeah
the
kind
rock
of
lobster?
Yeah,
thing?
We did that. Talking Heads. I played the David Byrne character. So I came out in the big suit and
Flock of Seagulls. You got great hair.
Yeah, I didn't do the Flock of Seagulls,
but the hair would have worked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It would have worked. Hey, I got a bone to pick with you. Hmm. Why isn't Vera here?
Vera is on a mission for Georgetown University.
That's no excuse. She could have rescheduled. You could have said, "Look, Dimitri wants you on with me to talk about Ken and all that."
I did.
Georgetown University. They're Jesuits. It's like, oh, for the love of God. Tell her I'm really pissed off at her.
She is right now in deepest, darkest West Virginia.
Really?
Clay County, West Virginia. She's on a mission there. So that's really good. Georgetown is reaching out to Appalachian, underprivileged Appalachian people. These are people who don't have running water. I mean, this is really, really backwoods stuff.
Why are they reaching out? Georgetown.
It's
a university in D.C.
Yeah.
Why did they reach out? What's the
because they're Jesuits and they care about humanity. And
what are they going to do?
They're actually setting up a recreational park. They're trying to teach those folks how to spend money, a limited budget, on good nutrition. Really, they're trying to start with nutrition. Here's the trouble.
Bravo.
In this little town where she is, they have their only grocery store is a gas station.
Yeah.
So you try and get nutritional food, you know, getting one of those year-old hot dogs on the, or you know.
Even diet drinks.
Oh,
because I went, you know, when driving around, I actually didn't notice this about poor people.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, I'm in a poor neighborhood driving around, you know, whatever. Mostly in Pittsburgh, not here.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I would want a Diet Mountain Dew, because I like Diet Mountain Dew.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting. Whenever I would go into a convenience store in a really poor, crappy neighborhood.
Yeah.
Almost no diet drinks.
Hmm.
Almost no
really?
Diet. Yes, I was like,
wait a minute. You know, you got poor people here, poor people, and obesity is a big problem.
It is.
Poor people.
It definitely is.
And they don't even carry diet. And it said to me, it's because these poor people don't want diet drinks. Because well, otherwise they would have the diet drink. It was actually an amazing revelation to me. It's like, holy cow. Well, anyway.
Actually, diet soda, by the way, is not good for you at all.
It's better.
That's it. That's marginally better.
It's
but
the trade-off.
I have a brother who is twice my size. And
you mean a normal size?
Yes, he's a normal.
You're a bit thin.
I'm a small guy. You are too, Dimitri.
No, you really are. You couldn't be more than 165 pounds.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, no. But my brother has struggled with weight all of his life, and he is addicted to Diet Pepsi. He drinks it all the time, and I don't know. I'm not. You know, maybe Dr. Georges could tell us more about this.
The problem isn't the Diet Pepsi. I can tell you that much. Yeah. The problem isn't that whatever is going on with Diet Pepsi. Yeah. He's morbidly obese.
Yes.
It ain't the Diet Pepsi.
Yeah.
I know that much. But enough of that.
Yeah.
The reason I called you here, asked you to come on, and you were very gracious, said, yeah, I'd be happy to do this if I can work out a date and all that. Tell me about Ken Neal.
Ken, yes.
Yeah. Because you've got quite a history with him.
Right. And Ken passed away a week ago. I think it was on Tuesday of last week. And Ken worked at Totterdale Brothers. In fact, he was one of the co-owners of Totterdale Brothers. And I met him years ago when I was working for another radio station in the capacity of sales. And
you were a radio salesperson?
I was a radio salesperson for the station that you worked for.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, it was long after we'd met, after I'd left West Liberty and started working in sales at that radio station. And I dropped in at Totterdale's, and they said, oh, we've advertised there before.
With whom?
Dimitri cut our ad, and he gave us a little jingle, and it was nonsensical, but they remembered it, and they loved it. Dimitri would end his ads with saying, they put the tot in Totterdale.
Yes.
Whatever that means, but it was effective for them, and they wanted
to. It still is. Dimitri put the tot in Totterdale.
And there you go.
You want plumbing supplies, you go to Totterdale and say, Dimitri says you put the tot in Totterdale, and let's see, then let's see the tot or whatever. I don't know. Now, very briefly, we got a break coming up here in about a minute. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a thumbnail on Ken Neal, and then we'll do a deep dive.
Ken Neal was best known probably in the area as a musician, although he was a friendly, wonderful salesperson at Totterdale's and helped out contractors. So many contractors know him, but musicians know him as a bass player and just one of the nicest people that you would have ever met. And so that's why I'm here today, is to pay tribute to my good friend. And he is, in fact, the guy who brought me back into the world of music after I'd been retired for many years.
Really?
Yes.
And he had a different name, a stage name.
Yes. His stage name was Quentin Peel. All of us took on fake identities in the M80s, and he was Quentin Peel. My name was David Boney.
Oh, no.
So, yeah.
The Quentin Peel, why did he pick that name? Is there a story behind that?
I'm not really sure. It rhymes with his name, Ken Neal. So I think that was it. He just liked the name Quentin. But most of us chose names that echoed other famous rock stars. So we had Prissy Kind and things like that.
You should get together. Get the band together.
I would like to do another show. Maybe.
I'm serious.
That'd
be great.
It wouldn't be the same without Ken, but maybe as a tribute to Ken or something, we might consider that,
That is a great idea.
Yeah.
That is a great idea. No question. We're going to take a short break. Butch Maxwell is here. Vera's not here. She's out helping poor people. Butch is here, and we're going to be talking a lot about Ken Neal, mostly Butch. I didn't know Ken very well at all. I mean, I ran into him a few times, but I can't begin to do it justice. You're the reason you're here. I mean, it's for Ken Neal. So more with Butch Maxwell. Download the River Network app and then click River Talk.